great. Thank you so much. I'm sorry for so many names on the presentation today, but really, this is just kind of a summary of a work that several groups have been doing on a relatively new disease on annual bluegrass. And just wanted to, you know, kind of put this together for the meeting today, just to kind of summarize and kind of get everyone up to speed on the fact that we do have a new disease running around in the U.S. Okay, as far as the background, our disease, brown ring patch, is a relatively new disease of golf course putting greens here in the U.S. And it's caused by a Rhizoctonia-like pathogen, Watea cercinata, variety cercinata, and it causes these yellow kind of circular rings that kind of, you know, turn brown or sunken or necrotic over time if left untreated. And in the U.S., it's primarily been a problem on annual and rough stock or rough bluegrass. And it typically occurs about 20 to 30 degrees maximum airtime temperature. That's when we see the disease. And it's really been more of a springtime disease in the U.S. So this is a very, very good shot of what brown ring patch looks like on a annual bluegrass putting green. You can see it looks pretty nasty if left uncontrolled. And also, if you look at it, it looks very superficially similar to yellow patch. Rhizoctonia yellow patch is another disease. It's typically, you know, more active under cooler conditions than brown ring patch. Okay. Another feature of this disease, just diagnostically, if you look at it, kind of gets those nice yellow rings, you know, a few centimeters to, you know, 30 centimeters in size. But you often get kind of this greening, kind of, you know, fairy ring-like greening on the inside, but it's kind of opposite as with what you'd expect with fairy ring as far as having the green on the inside. But kind of a funky kind of characteristic of this disease on annual bluegrass putting greens. And again, if left untreated, definitely those rings under certain circumstances can kind of get necrotic, sunken, and definitely affect ball roll and play on putting greens. Okay, definitely it is caused by a fungal pathogen, very Rhizoctonia-like in appearance. If you ever play charades with plant pathologists, this means Rhizoctonia. You know, it's just that kind of... It's got that Rhizoctonia look to it as far as its appearance. But definitely, as I'll explain later, we're finding out this may not necessarily be a quote-unquote a Rhizoctonia-type pathogen. Okay, as far as the name, it's been kind of funny since this disease has emerged because we've been using this name, Watea cercinata, variety cercinata, and it's embarrassing because I was actually mispronouncing this thing for the first 2 years when it came out. But it's definitely the teleomorphic or the sexual name for this fungus. And the two related pathogens that we might be familiar with would be Watea cercinata variety oryzae, which is also known as Rhizoctonia oryzae, and then also Watea cercinata variety zea, which is also known as Rhizoctonia zea. So it's not necessarily you know, like a too foreign of a pathogen, but definitely one that hasn't been causing very many problems as far as turf grass in the U.S. But it's not necessarily a new pathogen. It's been around for a long time. Watea cercinata was definitely described as a soil saprophyte all the way back in Australia, back in 1962, at the Waite Institute. That's why it's Watea, as far as that genus name. And it was described as a very, very minor pathogen of rice in California back in 1986, as well as being present on creeping bent grass, but, you know, not a big deal. In 2005, some pathologists in Japan described it as being the causal agent of brown ring patch on a creeping bent grass in Japan, thus the weird brown ring patch name that we've got for it. But as far as in the U.S., you know, you guys might have heard the story, but in 2003, at UC Riverside, we started getting a lot of calls about yellow patch in eastern Washington that just could not be controlled. Superintendents there had a hard time controlling it, but it was occurring under warm weather conditions, which led me to believe that year they must have had a lot of good dope in eastern Washington, because yellow patch, as you know, is obviously typically not a disease that's hard to control. But they were right, I was wrong, because they eventually kind of got over it. But in 2004, we started getting a lot of superintendents in California saying, hey, we got yellow patch we can't control. And so we knew at that point in time that something funky was going on. Carla De Lacerda, who was a technician in my laboratory at the time, did a lot of the work and confirmed that indeed it was this weightier Cercinata variety Cercinata, which was very strange for us because we had expected that not to necessarily be a disease or pathogen on annual bluegrass. But we started getting pretty confident about the fact that we had this pathogen causing some major problems on the West Coast. Being kind of a West Coaster, we don't have as strong as a pathology history as the East Coast, so it's always a little intimidating to, tell somebody like Bruce Clark that you've got a new disease running around and so on and so forth. But in 2006, guys from Ohio and the Midwest started, kind of screaming about yellow patch that couldn't be controlled. So, thought, well, we got something funny going on here. So a lot of the problems with the diagnosis of this pathogen from putting greens is that a lot of Rosectonias, as I said, look the same. I've got these 90-degree branches. And there's just a lot of variable morphology with this pathogen. And it was really unknown if all these outbreaks were being caused by this pathogen really emerging, or if it just happened to be the disease du jour or the perceived disease du jour at the time. So a lot of the efforts reflected in the work today just kind of reflects, the cooperative efforts between our program in California and, a number of the other pathologists in the U.S. just getting our data together and just saying, if we've got the same stuff or not. Okay, when I talk about morphology, Rosectonias are typically, not the easiest thing to identify, to other than its Rosectonia, just based on colony morphology. But just want to really point out that Weightia cercinata variety cercinata is pretty diverse in its morphology. So those four slides images there on the, I guess my right hand side, you can see that those are four different. Isolates of Weightia cercinata variety cercinata, but they're very variable in morphology. So we were extremely unsure if we could just use morphology to make a correct diagnosis of the pathogen on this. And again, just because it was a new disease, we wanted to make sure that we were saying that there was something new, because it's kind of embarrassing when it ends up that it's not. So as far as the objectives of this study is just basically to characterize the isolates associated with these perceived outbreaks of brown ring patch from different geographical areas in the U.S. Again, it was just very strange that it would pop up in eastern Washington in 2003 and then all of a sudden be reported all the way out to the northeastern states by 2006. So we wanted to just make sure that we knew what we were dealing with. We wanted to use the ribosomal DNA intergenic spacer region sequences to really identify and compare isolates. And again, that's a really well-established technique for getting a good molecular identification of an organism. And basically fulfill Koch's postulates just to make sure that all these isolates were indeed pathogenic and responsible for the disease that was out there. Okay, as far as materials and methods, isolates were either obtained independently. We had good collaborations with a number of folks. Sent in isolates. Otherwise, we just compared sequences from the different groups that had done the work independently. We did ITS sequencing, basically just extract DNA, ran ITS1F and ITS4 as far as universal ITS region primers, and then compared sequences using PALP to determine sequence identity and similarity. For Koch's postulates, again, this was done by several groups, several different methodologies, but the basic thing was grew the pathogen up on grain, did greenhouse experiments on either annual bluegrass, rough bluegrass, or creeping bank grass, basically did greenhouse tests to confirm pathogenicity. Okay, as far as the isolates, I'm just going to present data from 17 isolates from 15 different geographical regions. Today, so you can see that we've got everything from annual bluegrass from California, rough bluegrass from Coachella or Palm Springs, rough bluegrass from Florida, annual bluegrass isolates from all over the Northeast, thanks to John Kaminsky, stuff from Idaho, Illinois, so on and so forth. Just for giggles, wanted to put in also in this study some other Rosectonia-like new fungi that we're finding from cucuya grass or Penicillium clandestinum, as well as perennial ryegrass that we've been picking up in the last few years. So again, seems like there are some new diseases running around, but in this case, we just really wanted to focus on isolates that were associated with brown ring patch. Okay, as far as the results, as far as ITS sequencing, amplified up about a 640 base pair fragment, and everything that was associated with causing brown ring patch-like symptoms, regardless of geographic origin or host, was basically about 99 to 100% similar with each other. So as one of my professors would say from, you know, Cornell, it was all the same stuff. The isolates associated with brown ring patch were very distinct from Rhizoctonia rhizei or Rhizoctonia zea sequences, and definitely very highly different from Rhizoctonia solani or the regular brown patch type Rhizoctonias. And then also definitely those weird isolates from kokugi grass and perennial ryegrass also seem to be very unique. I won't go into that very much today, but I will just very briefly touch on the next slide. If you look at the dendrogram, it's really obvious that all the isolates associated with brown ring patch all kind of group into this cluster of Wadia cercinata, variety cercinata. You know, here's your Oryzae and Zea down here that's pretty distinct, and your Rhizoctonia solani is just way off on the other side. So definitely it's a distinct clade or group of plant pathogens. And amongst these, you know, regardless of geographic location, maybe 1 to 3 base pair difference in that 661 base pair amplified region. So again, very, very, very similar when you're talking about ITS sequences. Okay, looking at host origin, basically, you know, it really didn't make a difference if the isolates were from rough bluegrass or creeping bentgrass. You know, they all seemed to lump together with isolates that were taken from annual bluegrass. And again, this is not really surprising considering that, you know, the disease was described on creeping bentgrass in Japan and also kind of isolated from creeping bentgrass in California back in the 1980s. So again, it seems like, isolates attacking rough bluegrass, creeping bentgrass, and annual bluegrass, all the same stuff. I just wanted to point out really quick that some of those weird, that weird one from kokugi grass seems to make its own clade out here, and this one from perennial ryegrass is also out here. So one of the things that we're looking at in, you know, amongst the group of pathologists here is that there are these new Rhizoctonia-like fungi that keep popping up, and that's part of our future research for the next few years, is trying to figure out what's going on with those new Rhizoctonia-type fungi. Okay, as far as results, like I said, all isolates cause disease on arm. I'm sorry, as far as fulfilling Koch's postulates, all isolates that were tested seemed to cause disease on their host of origin. We also did some additional tests in California as far as looking at their ability to cause disease on annual bluegrass, rough bluegrass, and creeping bentgrass. The Florida guys confirmed pathogenicity on Poa triv, and Pennsylvania on just annual bluegrass. This is what the pathogenicity tests basically look like. Isolates are perfectly happy causing disease on annual bluegrass and creeping bentgrass. And just in summary, you can see that no matter where the isolate originated from, they're basically equally pathogenic on those three species of potential hosts. Okay, so in conclusion, all 17 isolates, same stuff. Like I said, it's all Wadia cercinata, variety cercinata. It seems pretty much limited in the U.S. To annual bluegrass, rough bluegrass, and creeping bentgrass in the U.S. for the time being. But the majority of diagnoses through the U.S. definitely focus or are occurring on annual bluegrass. Again, Koch's postulates fulfilled for a good subset of those isolates. Definitely, we're talking about a clean association of this pathogen with the disease, and I can definitely say that brown ring patch is a fairly common disease in parts of the U.S. now since its kind of emergence in 2003. Okay, just really quickly, just nomenclature and taxonomy. Notice that we've never really called this disease a Rhizoctonia, even though it shares that morphological characteristic. We've got different teleomorphic groups of Rhizoctonia, so Thanateferus would be the teleomorph of Rhizoctonia solani, and Ceratobasidium would be the teleomorph of the yellow patch or Rhizoctonia cerealis groups. But the biology and control of these Rhizoctonia-like fungi are very different, and there's growing evidence that these Wadias are indeed very different from the other Rhizoctonia types that we've seen, And I guess I've drunk the magic punch from Florida as far as their hypothesis that we should be calling these Chrysorrhiza. And at this point in time, I'm starting to agree with Phil Harmon's group. Just another tree, basically looking at different fungi. And Wadia is more closely related to, say, our malaria than it actually is to Rhizoctonia solani. So there's a really good body of evidence that's forming as far as realizing that these things are not Rhizoctonias, even though morphologically they're superficially similar to them. And actually this Chrysorrhiza name should be used to describe the anamorphic state of this pathogen and to make them distinct from the Rhizoctonia type pathogens. So with that, just acknowledgments, and I don't know if I have time for a question or two. So questions? Great, thank you so much, guys. Or yeah, Pete. I'm sorry. If I could charade a zoospore coming out of me, it'd be a little gross. Thanks, though, Pete.
All right, we've got time to. We didn't have earlier. Does anyone have a question for our first presentation with Ronald Calhoun? We got time for a question on the modeling for spring germination of smooth crabgrass or poaenia, if you wanted to. Okay. All right. For those, yes.
Yeah. Any theories on where did this come from? Has it always been here? How can it be coast to coast?
I think just at this pathogen as well as some of the Chiman is sitting in the back there, he's our graduate student. She started to do a lot of, see, like the beta tubulin sequencing, AFLP, looking at the population structure. It doesn't look like it's an invasion type of thing. I think that it's always been here. As Chiman discussed yesterday about it's a low nitrogen fertility type disease, I think it's just one of these things like the anthracnose story where it's been around, it's never caused problems, but all of a sudden we're doing cultural things that are letting it sneak through and become a major problem.
Change in what we're using, the fungicides or some of those things, would that be pushing it towards something like that or any of the other management things we're doing other than low nitrogen?
I think low nitrogen is probably the main factor. I mean, it definitely has a different range of fungicides that control it compared to, say, some of the other Rhizoctonia-type fungi. But I don't think it's not one of these weird theories like heritage caused it, kind of thing. So, I think it's mainly cultural practices and low fertility. It might be that we figured out how to control things like dollar spot and anthracnose, and then this thing sneaks through in those low fertilities.